The football stadium announcer's role is pretty straightforward. Quickly dispatch to eager fans details such as how many yards were gained, who carried the ball, and who made the tackle. In Louisville, Kentucky, a father determined to play a part in his son's high school games wound up in that role, despite lacking an advantage many PA announcers take for granted. Ann Marshall has the story.
Fans pile on to silver and red bleachers as the Friday sunset leaves orange skid marks in the sky. Two of Kentucky's top high school football teams will soon emerge from locker rooms onto a freshly cut field.
It's a kind of a chilly night here in Kentucky. There's a little bit of breeze blowing through the window. It's about 65 degrees. I can smell the hot dogs and hamburgers that are being grilled downstairs.
That's David Holton. The 49-year-old is perched in the press box above the stands, wearing a crimson sports coat and tie, the school color of DuPont Manual High School. He's the school's varsity football announcer. David leans back on a stool and takes it all in.
We're about 30 minutes before kickoff. The teams are on the field. They're doing their drills. They're clapping their hands. They're doing their chants.
David's a huge fan of football and of a particular defensive lineman for DuPont Manual, his son, Brooks. His avocation began 3 years ago when a parent called him in a panic.
It was about 3 hours before the game started. He said, "We don't have an announcer." I said, "Well, I'll be glad to do it, but, you know, I can't see. I can talk, but I can't see."
David is blind. A tumor damaged his optic nerve when he was 10 years old. He can only see lights, like the ones glaring at Manual Stadium. But that doesn't prevent him from doing his job.
Your game time temperature is 64 degrees. It's Friday night at 7:30, and it's time for football!
David's sandwiched in a room not much longer or wider than a bathtub. An unobstructed view of the field lies before him. A scoreboard operator sits on one side, two spotters stand nearby, and press binoculars to their eyes. Buddy, an 11-year-old black lab seeing eye dog, wedges himself underneath David's legs.
Pass play.
What happened?
Pass.
That's Thomas Pattison, David's loyal spotter and friend.
Madeline's pass is complete.
Matthew Wimpy with the catch.
Matthew Wimpy with the reception. First down.
Yes.
First down, Tigers. Was that tackle or taking a bound?
Six. Number six for Manny.
Who's that?
Percy Minor.
Yeah. Tackle by number six, Percy Minor.
During each down, David gently swings from side to side and waits for someone to tell him what's going on. Pattison holds a roster for both teams.
Stopped at the line. I'm trying to see his number. Yulinski.
What number is he? 41. Tackle by number 41, Jacob Lewinsky.
Pattison is integral to this tag team, but he gives most of the credit to his partner.
Whatever he can't see, it's my job to tell him what's going on so that he can tell the people downstairs. And he does a great job of it. I don't think anybody down there that doesn't know David would know there's a blind guy up here.
Tackle by number 92, Thomas Chapman, and number 51, Brooks Holton.
Second and eight.
That's my boy.
David's pride occasionally earns him some good-natured ribbing from others in the press box.
He gets a little nervous every now and then, so sometimes we'll just call 51 for the hell of it, you know.
Make him feel better.
Just keep in a good mood.
I can't wait till he throws the pass.
He said, "Dad, I didn't make seven tackles tonight."
If I say you did, son. That's all that matters.
David says football has been a great bond between him and his oldest son, number 51, Brooks Holton. And he loves to tell the story of number 39.
When Brooks first started playing football, this was when he was 10 years old, he came to me one night after practice and said, "Dad, what number did you wear when you played football?" I said, "I was number 39, son." I said, "Why do you ask?" He said, "I just wondered." Well, about 2 weeks later, he came home from football practice with his jersey. He was number 39. It was pretty neat.
David's never seen Brooks's face, nor his red hair. Still, he can toss a football or baseball to him like any other dad. He played both sports before he lost his sight. The two sit next to each other in the high school's alumni room, sports memorabilia encased from floor to ceiling.
I'm the quarterback. I can't be the receiver because I can't see the catch it, but I can still throw a football.
Yeah, he's pretty
good. He's got good hands.
Yeah, we've played in French every sport we can think of,
I guess. It's dangerous being a pitcher, though, because when he hits the ball, one time I got cracked in the head after I hit the ball. I cracked me in the head. Remember that?
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
It was funny for you. Not for me.
They used tennis balls after that. Brooks, who stands 6'2" with broad shoulders, admires his dad, who left a special school for the blind to attend public high school and eventually became Kentucky's first blind judge. But there is one thing David could never achieve.
I've been able to do most things I wanted to do in my life. I went to college. I went to law school. I practiced law. Now I'm a judge. So I've had a good, full life. But it has been one of the disappointments in my life that I'm not able to coach my kids on the field.
David says that announcing fills that void.
Come on, boys! The mic's off. I'm all right. I'm impartial.
As the game wears on, David faces the field with a worried look. With 30 seconds left, St. Xavier scores, winning by one touchdown. The receiver taunts the crowd.
Flag on the play. What's the call going to be?
It's going to be unsportsmanlike conduct, dead ball. They still will, they won't happen here. They're going to penalize them on the kickoff.
The game is over. David's 12-year-old son, Max, helps his dad navigate the steep spiral staircase out of the press box and down the bleachers. Once on the field, a stone-faced Brooks walks over. David gives his son a pat on the back and chokes up a bit.
You played a good game, buddy.
Thank you.
With tonight's loss, Manuel will likely lose its home field advantage in the playoffs, which means tonight could be Brooks' last home game and David's last night announcing. Standing in the end zone, Brooks nearby, David holds back tears and smiles.
My eyes were watering one reason because he smelled so bad after all those tackles and all the sweating. But the other reason because I just love him so much, you know. So,
for Only a Game, I'm Ann Marshall in Louisville.